Again, want to welcome everyone, those that are watching by way of Facebook. Welcome to our Sunday morning Christmas service right here at Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. And we are very thankful and grateful for your faithfulness to watch during these uncertain times, this time of pandemic. But we are so very thankful that you're watching today. And I encourage you, if you can, to invite a friend to watch our Christmas service here in just a few moments. And a lot of preparation has gone into it. We have some great singing that's lined up with our women and the women of the church. And then, of course, a couple of our younger folks are going to be singing this morning. And so we count an honor and a privilege to be able to minister this morning right here at Calvary. I want to mention a few things before we go any further with the service. Many of you know, of course, sent out the call post yesterday and the Facebook post on Friday. But out of abundance of caution, we have, the deacons and myself have chose to go this route by not having in-person worship today and on next Sunday morning. But the good Lord willing, we'll be back in service on January 3rd, which is the first Sunday of the new year in January. And so we're looking forward to that, and prayerfully we will meet back on that day. And I want to mention a few folks by way of prayer requests. Many of you know that Miss Mary Rich has COVID, and she's at home recovering from that. And so please remember her in your prayers. Excuse me, COVID. I've been more than you know, people have, not anybody here this morning, but have corrected me on that. I kind of like to say COVID, but to be quite honest with you, I'll be glad when this COVID pandemic stuff is gone and we can get back to living. Let's remember Miss Mary Rich, please, in our prayers. Also, Bobby McClendon has had it as well, the coronavirus. I spoke with Miss Nancy McClendon yesterday, and of course she gave permission to mention that. I'm a little leery about mentioning to the world who has it, who don't have it, because that's a personal situation. But nonetheless, Bobby McClendon is recovering from COVID. And also, we had two potential cases, and that's one of the reasons why we chose to not be in person today as far as the church as a whole. And those two potential cases came back negative, and so we're praising the Lord for that, and those two negative cases. Let's also remember, I was given a prayer request concerning Miss Rita Pearson. That's the diplomat's, that's the mother, and she has an upcoming surgery, so let's remember her. Got a praise report that Brother Jeff Hodges, no surgery on the benign tumor that he has, and so we praise the Lord for that. No surgery. They're just going to do a yearly PET scan and to keep an eye on things with that. And also a special request this morning for Miss Linda Tidwell. This is Ben Tidwell, his mother. She has cirrhosis of the liver, and I believe it's progressing in the stages of it, but never drank a drop of alcohol in her life, and yet she has cirrhosis. And so let's remember her in our prayers as well. Again, we have a full prayer list in our bulletin, and you can log on for that to www.calvaryministries.org, and there you can get a list in its entirety of all of our prayer requests. Again, no in-person worship next Sunday, but on which is the 27th, but on January the 3rd, again, will be our proposed date to be back in person. And also, that's going to be our official Christmas offering. Unfortunately, today was going to be the day, but unfortunately we've had again to push that day back. So remember that on January the 3rd will be the official Christmas offering, and the kickoff service of the new year. But to give tithes and offerings before then, you can do that one or three ways. You can give online, you can mail in, or make arrangements by contacting the church office to get those here to the church. All right, so that's my prayer request this morning, and that's the announcements. And again, this is our Christmas service, and thank you for watching. We have a great service lined up, and be prayerful for us as we minister to you. And let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we're thankful, and we're grateful for this opportunity to stand one more time, Lord, and proclaim the name of Jesus. I pray today that you would be with the singers, Lord, be with the ladies as they sing. What tremendous truths are in these songs we're about to hear. And then the children, a couple of them, as they sing. We're thankful, Lord, for our children, our young people of the church, and how they we love to incorporate them in everything we do, not just Youth Sundays. And Father, we pray today that you'll be honored and glorified in everything that we say, in everything that we do. We are thankful that you are the reason for the season. Let us exit everything from our minds and concentrate solely upon you, because we don't want to miss what you have for us today. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to turn it over to the ladies.
star shone bright up in the east. The wise men following, they brought him gifts of gold and myrrh to honor.
light of the world. And Emmanuel has came. Emmanuel, that very name being interpreted, is God with us. And aren't you glad this morning, those that are watching, aren't you glad that the Lord is with us? And those that are here as well, aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus is with us? And He's our King, He's our Comforter, and He's the one that leads, guides, directs, protects, and all the above. And we're so very thankful for that. And thank you, ladies, for the singing, and what a tremendous job, and also a writer as well. Did an awesome, awesome job this morning, and we're praising the Lord for that. And thank you, Brother David, for meeting with us and practicing with the ladies and all of our folks in the sound booth. I appreciate you as well. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn for a few moments to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Luke, chapter number 2. And I want to read two verses this morning as our starting point in the message. Let me just say that over the past two Sundays, we have been talking about God's gift to man. And the first Sunday, which was the 6th of December, we talked about the gift out of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And in that message, we emphasize primarily the word so. And so we talked about that on December the 6th, talked about the gift. And then the next Sunday, we talked about unwrapping the gift out of 1 Timothy 3:16. The verse that talks about, says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And it mentioned several things that took place in a nutshell, basically, in the life of the Lord from the time that He got here to the time that He left. And this morning, I want to again read a couple verses out of the book of Luke, chapter number 2, verse number 6 and 7. And I want to continue our thought of God's gift to man. And this morning, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, the delivery of the gift. We talked about the gift, unwrapping the gift. And this morning, for a few moments, I want to actually emphasize the delivery of the gift. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6 of Luke 2. The Bible says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Again, this morning, I want to talk about the actual delivery of this gift. And the Lord willing, we'll conclude next Sunday morning, preaching on Jesus this whole month, and a final sermon. But the delivery of this gift, I want to mention a few things that took place before the delivery of this gift, the beginning of the delivery of this gift, and then beyond the delivery of this gift. Three simple things this morning. And all of these things, again, center our thought and our focus around the actual manger scene and what took place on that faithful day when our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came. And so, number one, I want you to notice, or at least just follow along in our thought process, before the delivery, before the delivery of this gift, what took place? Well, if I could paraphrase or phrase or mention in a phrase what took place before the delivery of Jesus, it would be this: there was silence. There was silence. From the book of Malachi to Matthew, which Malachi, then Matthew, there was a space of time that covered about and spanned over from 400 to 500 years. So from the Old Testament book of Malachi to the New Testament book of Matthew, it spanned from 400 to 500 years, and these are known as the silent years. The silent years. Now, before the delivery of this gift, Jesus, in the Old Testament, there was prophecy after prophecy. I mean, prophecy just flowed consistently. In fact, from Genesis all the way to the book of Malachi, it was prophecy after prophecy, a continual and steady flow of prophecy. For example, take your Bibles and turn over or follow along with us to Malachi chapter number 3. This is just for an example. Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Listen to this word of prophecy, or one of the concluding words, verses of prophecy, until we got to the book of Matthew. Malachi 3 and verse number 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? John the Baptist. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And so these verses, and in the context of this chapter, gives us and talks about, prophesies the actual coming of the Messiah who will set things in order, but there will be a forerunner or helper first. And so these are some words of prophecy in Malachi. And of course, the whole Old Testament has several again, from Genesis to Malachi, has several verses of prophecy talking about the coming of the Lord. Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2 actually mentions Bethlehem. And so we have all of these verses of prophecy all the way to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And then comes the New Testament, Matthew. But from Malachi to Matthew was a space of 400 to 500 years of silence. And so before the delivery of this babe, there was silence. There was no more prophecies, just waiting. No more prophecies, no more words concerning his birth or his coming. All has been said, everything has been prophesied. Now it was just a silent period. It was a time of waiting. But then again, on that faithful night, in the manger, the babe was born, and the cry from the babe was heard. The cry from baby Jesus broke that silence. And so as we put these in a pliable terminology, we know that there was silence 400 to 500 years from Malachi to Matthew. So how can we apply that to our life? Well, we know there was silence, and then on that faithful night, the cry of the babe broke that silence. Well, we have some future prophecy as well concerning the Lord's coming. But not coming as a lowly lamb, but one day he's coming as a lion. And you see, the second return of the Lord is in two phases. And let me just say this before we go any further. We're living in dark days, like it was between Malachi and Matthew. It was a time of silence. It was a time of darkness, no words of prophecy. And then the babe came. In like manner is the first phase of the second return of the Lord. You see, the return of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, has two phases. Number one, he's coming for his church. And then he's coming back with his church to set up, to defeat the devil and those on earth, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And so what I'm saying is this. The day and times in which we live are a lot like from Malachi to Matthew in those days. It was dark days. It was silent days. But then the cry of the babe that was prophesied for hundreds of years was finally fulfilled. Well, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Jesus is coming back for his church, and then he's coming back with his church. And listen, church, it may be dark days we're encountering now. It may seem like God is silent because of the pandemic we're dealing with and all of the dirty politics and all of those kind of things. But there's coming a day, rest assured, if God said it, it will come to pass, that he is coming back for his church. And we will be caught away and will forever be with the Lord. We see this morning that there was a before time period concerning the delivery of this gift. There was a time of silence, 400 to 500 years, from Malachi to Matthew. Listen, Jesus is coming this morning. And it may be dark, and it may seem that he is silent, and the politics and politicians are getting away with what they're doing, and all of these diseases and viruses. But don't kid yourself about it. He's coming. He's coming again. Let me mention this, another applicable point before the delivery. You know, there's times in life when we personally, not only just on a biblical calendar, experience silence or dark times, but personally in our own lives, there's times where we experience darkness, where we struggle with the flesh, where there's problems in the family, in our own personal lives, and it seems as though God is nowhere near. It seems as though the Lord is, I don't know, has a deaf ear to us, and we just continue on in our challenges, and we continue on in our darkness, meaning dark days. But you know, the Lord has a way of showing up in our deepest, darkest times of dilemma. Like the disciples on the sea, when they were in the midst of the storm and they were tossed to and fro. And the Bible says, then came Jesus. And many of them thought he was a spirit. And so what I'm getting at is the same way that there was dark days, a time of silence from Malachi to Matthew, many times it's the same way in our lives. We try to serve the Lord and try to be the parental a parent that we should be, husband and wife and all of those other things. And we try to be responsible from day to day, and we struggle. And look, things happen, and people get sick, and people die, and they pass away. And it seems as though heaven is silent. It seems as though there is darkness, and every day is filled with drear. But I want to say that the Lord knows our name this morning. He knows exactly where we're at. In the same way that there was silence for 400 to 500 years before the cry of the babe, I want to encourage you, church, to hang in and hang on to whatever lot you have in life. The Lord knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly the type of darkness you're experiencing. And he tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He tells us that Psalms, in the book of Psalms, says that he is a refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. And so this morning, it's a blessing to know that we serve a Lord that's here. Although times are dark, and although times may be times of silence. Well, the delivery of this gift. There was a before period. And that before period had everything to do with a silent period from Malachi to Matthew, but then the babe's cry. There's a second thing I want to mention this morning. Not only before the delivery, and of course this is dealing with that time period of Malachi to Matthew, but back in Luke chapter number 2, I want us to look at the beginning of the delivery. The beginning of the delivery. At the right time, Jesus was born. At the right specific time, this delivery process started to occur. Now, I do want you to notice in Luke chapter number 2, in verse number 1, that in order for the beginning of this delivery to actually start, in order for this prophecy to be fulfilled, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, notice this, God had to initiate something. He had to orchestrate a series of events to get Mary and Joseph to that place, Bethlehem, in order to honor His word. Look in verse number 1 of Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That word taxed there, it means to enroll. It means a census to be taken in order to keep up with the population. In verse number 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. Notice, Joseph wasn't even in Bethlehem. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Something very amazing happens here. And the amazing thing that happens here is that God honored His word, but He initiated. He orchestrated a series of events. And He used, the Bible says, Caesar Augustus to do so. Isn't it amazing in life the times where we may not understand what's going on in life? I mean, there may be dark times we're experiencing. There may be a time of silence where we feel like God is not hearing us, yet we know we belong to Him. Isn't it amazing at times how that the Lord uses certain things to fulfill His word and His purpose in our life? He used Caesar Augustus, meaning He moved upon the heart of this king and initiated a taxation. One day He was sitting there and He was thinking, well, it's been a while since we counted our population. Let me just send out a decree that all the world should be taxed, and or there should be a census taken, so we'll know with what we're working with. Well, when Joseph, that was in Galilee, heard this, he said, "Mary, I know you're pregnant and everything. I know that Jesus, we both had the dream. Jesus, you have been impregnated by the Holy Ghost. You're going to bear the Savior of the world, but." But I'm from Bethlehem. All my people are from Bethlehem. And so we need to get to Bethlehem. That just really speaks of the kind of character that Joseph had. And so there they go. Mary, right at 9 months pregnant. The scriptures indicate that. Verse number 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And so while Caesar Augustus was, I don't know, in my mind's eye, I'm thinking he's walking in his courts and he's scratching his head, thinking about sending out a census. On the other side, Joseph knew that he was from Galilee, the city, or he was from Bethlehem, the city of David. Mary being pregnant with a child right at 9 months. Started, and because of the character Joseph had, they were making their way back to Bethlehem. Now, many people may say that's a coincidence that she was right at the delivery date. When they were going back to Bethlehem, and Caesar Augustus sent out this decree, And just so happens, while they were there, the babe was born as prophesied for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, there's a lot of these, what we call thinkers. And they try to rationalize Jesus, and they try to, you know, to rationalize the miracles that he did. Listen, this is no coincidence. And there is no way to rationalize how that at a specific time. In fact, Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, at the right time, at the appropriate time, and only on time, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." Listen, we see the beginning of the delivery. It was prophesied, and now Caesar Augustus sent out this decree, and Joseph and Mary are making their way to Bethlehem. She's 9 months pregnant. God honored his word. And you may be watching this morning, and your life may be in upheaval. There may be some things in your life that need to get straightened out. Or there may be, you may be going through a time in your life where you feel like that you don't have no purpose. And you may say, "Brother Justin, I know Jesus as my Savior, and I do my very best to follow him." All I can tell you this morning and try to encourage you from the birth of Jesus is that he orchestrates things. Sometimes it is silent periods we go through. Sometimes it is dark experiences we encounter. Sometimes hurt is involved. Sometimes emotional pain is involved. Sometimes we pray and we're like, "Lord, I thought you was going to be there. Lord, why didn't you intervene?" I think about my dear friend, Johnny Ivey, who's in heaven. And if I thought about anybody that should be here right now, serving Jesus, it's Brother Johnny. The Lord took him at 47 years old, having battled stage 4 cancer for 3.5 years. And his wife, Stacy, last Sunday morning, got up behind the pulpit in the conclusion of the service, and she said, "Don't anyone be mad at God." Wow. Wow. Listen, church, I'll be the first to say, I don't always understand God. I don't always understand why he does what he does. I don't understand. And sometimes, I disagree with God, to be honest with you. Over the past week, I've really struggled with passing a Brother Johnny. And some folks say, "You're not supposed to question God." Well, when the Lord was on the cross, he said, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" James tells us, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." God, in the past week, "Lord, I don't understand why you chose to take Brother Johnny." And it was his wife, Stacy, that stood there behind the pulpit. And she said, "I honestly thought that God was going to heal Brother Johnny. I don't know," she said, "I don't know of a sweeter man there was than my husband." Listen, I don't know the mind of God. And the Bible talks about in the Old Testament that there are secret things that belong to the Lord that we don't know about, and we can't find out or make sense out of why we're here on earth. But I do know this: if we belong to Jesus, he is in control of our lives. He orchestrates things. When I do good, he is orchestrating my path. When I do bad, he is orchestrating my path. The Lord is at all times, in every place. He is moving and working in my life, in your life. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, he says, "For we know that God worketh all things," or he's at work in all things, is the gist of it. God is at work in all things. He works all things together for good for those who love the Lord and to those who are the called according to his purpose. And you see, Caesar Augustus, he didn't think that he was going to be the agent,
by which the fulfillment of Scripture would be. And God uses so many things in our day and our time. Sometimes He does use pain to get us to where we should be. Sometimes He does use setback and heartache. Sometimes there are closed doors, and sometimes there are windows that are closed that we thought were looking at God's will through, and sometimes He closes doors. But listen, we need to understand, and we need to hang our hat on Romans 8:28, that He is always working all things together for good. Doesn't mean that everything is going to feel good. I guarantee you, the other week at the cemetery, when Sister Stacy and her three kids were weeping over the passing of their dad and husband, I guarantee you there wasn't a good feeling about that. But you see, the Bible doesn't talk about operating out of our feelings, in our emotions. But the Bible talks about operating out of the truth of Scripture. And what is the truth of Scripture? The truth of Scripture is, for the believer, that Jesus is working in my life. I may not like everything He does. I may not agree with everything He does. Sometimes it's dark when you're living for the Lord and making a stand for Him. Sometimes it seems as though He is silent. But rest assured this morning, the same way that He orchestrated these events in the beginning of the delivery of this gift, the Lord is working in your life this morning. He's working in my life. We don't have to fret. We don't have to get angry and get mad. We don't have to understand everything. All we have to do is trust Him. You know, there's one thing about it when it comes to Brother Johnny. He's not hurting anymore. He's not in any pain anymore. And if he's not in any pain anymore, then doesn't it make sense to really examine our hearts, my heart? Yeah, he'll be missed, and there's a grieving process. But if he's not in any pain anymore, shouldn't I rejoice that he fought for 3.5 years? It was the testimony of his wife that Brother Johnny had a quality of life for stage 4 cancer for 3.5 years, still preaching. He did the WDCY, he was on board WDCY radio, a share-a-thon just a couple of months ago. He was doing out-of-town funerals. Listen, I don't understand everything in life. Those watching, I don't know the extent of why God does what He does. But I know this about His birth. I know that He used a series of events. He moved on Caesar's heart. And because of that, Joseph went back to home. And there the babe was born. The beginning of His birth. We see here that God initiated some things. And God will initiate some things in our life. He will move us to where we need to be. And He will use all kinds of things to get us in the perfect will of God, to get us to that place of moving forward with Him. Now, let me mention something else. Not only do we see the beginning of the delivery, we see before the delivery, but then I want you to notice beyond the delivery. There were some things that happened beyond his delivery. After the delivery, there were some new realities for man. Notice, if you would, right here in Luke chapter number 2, skip down to verse number 10. We know the account and the context of these verses that finished the chapter. We know that there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And we know that in verse number 9, the angel of the Lord came. In verse number 10, the Bible says this. Last week we talked about angels. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There were some realities after his birth. Number one, salvation has come. Salvation has come. And notice this in verse number 11. For unto you, the Bible says, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is our Savior this morning. Those of us who have already bowed and asked him to save us, we're saved. He's our Savior. But for those watching that maybe you haven't bowed your head and asked the Lord to save you, whether you accept him or not, he is still and can still be your Savior this morning. All you have to do is accept him. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that it was my sin that has separated me from a holy God. I know that you came and you bled and died and you were buried on the third day. You rose again. Right here, right now, I accept you in my heart as my Lord and Savior. Take me to heaven when I die. Give me purpose in life now. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 10, in verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to say that salvation has come. That is a reality beyond the delivery. And the angel said so, and the shepherds heard it. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Not only salvation has come, a reality beyond the delivery, but peace has come. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest. These were the heavenly host. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace, goodwill toward men. Peace has come. Do you need peace today? Peace is here. That's why we celebrate the Christmas season, because the avenue by which you have peace has come. Jesus Christ. I do want to say that peace follows salvation. Peace follows salvation. When you read the New Testament and you read many of the Pauline epistles, you'll find that he greets many of his books by saying, grace and peace be unto you. You see, grace has to come before peace. Peace follows grace, the grace of God. I want to say that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he will save you, but then he will give you peace in knowing that when you die, heaven will be your home, but he'll also give you peace so that you can go to sleep at night and not worry about what tomorrow holds. He is the peacemaker. Not only after the delivery, salvation has come, peace has come, but proclaiming has come. Look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, the babe lying in the manger, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. This is the picture I want to show you. The shepherds were in the field. They were visited by this announcement. They seen the babe lying in a manger. They went back to Bethlehem and told everyone what they have seen. There's a song, it's not a new song, I believe it's probably several years old. And the song, I believe, is by Casting Crowns. It's a Christmas song. And it's called While You Were Sleeping. Oh Bethlehem, while you were sleeping. What a wonderful song. And that's what we see wrapped up in these verses here. We see a sleepy town of Bethlehem. But outside on the dark hills where the shepherds were abiding faithfully over their sheep, they saw some things. They seen the birth of this babe. And listen, I'm pretty certain that everyone in Bethlehem knew and has heard the prophecies of the coming Messiah. But while they were sleeping, Jesus came. Jesus is coming again. I don't want to be a sleeping Christian and miss out on some things like those shepherds saw while Bethlehem was sleeping. Do you? I don't want to be asleep. I don't want to be like Peter, James, and John that could not watch and pray for 1 hour when the Lord was agonizing, getting ready to go to the cross, and he turned back to them. They were asleep, and they kept sleeping. He said, "Sleep on. Time, my betrayal's at hand." I want to be one that God can count on. I want to be one of his faithful few that's not sleeping away the realities of prophecy, his second return. But I want to be here. I want to be proclaiming the good news of the gospel to a sleepy Powder Springs, to a sleepy world. This whole world has heard, well, at least much of the world at least has heard of the gospel. Of course, there's probably regions of the world who hasn't. That's why we have missionaries. But I want to be one who is proclaiming God's word to this world, which has already heard Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I want to be preaching to Powder Springs and to sleepy Powder Springs. I want to be preaching to sleepy Hiram. I want to be preaching to Douglasville. And listen, it's not just for those who stand behind the pulpit, but everyone who's experienced the grace of God is to proclaim his name. Again, in verse number 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And so we see beyond the delivery, the babe was already born, salvation has come, peace has come, proclaiming has come, and now the shepherds, we're letting everybody know that he's here. Jesus is here. Let me mention some things out of Isaiah 9:6, and we'll close in a few minutes. There's some realities that are beyond his delivery. I mentioned a few to you already. Salvation, peace, time to proclaim. But in Isaiah 9 and verse number 6 tells us some other realities that's wrapped up in this wonderful gift called Jesus. Listen to Isaiah 9 and verse number 6. "For unto us," that's us, "for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Listen to this. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This morning, without reservation and with great gratitude, I say that our God is wonderful. Isn't he wonderful this morning? For how he came, for what he did when he came, how he rose from the grave and how he accepts everybody and the things that he does in our lives personally on a daily basis. The Lord is wonderful. A reality after his birth. He's wonderful, but he's counselor at the same time. He's counselor. You have a problem that you need solved? Tell it to Jesus. Is there a situation in your life that you need resolved? Tell it to Jesus. He is counselor. Sometimes we need counseling, don't we? I'm telling you, I think I would drive a counselor out of his occupation if I dumped my stuff on him. He said, "Boy, ain't no hope for you. I'm still going." But he's counselor. Those things, those deep things that we need to talk about, we can bring it to Jesus because the Bible says that he's our counselor. You could tell him everything this morning. He won't taunt you. He won't scold you, make fun of you. There's been some times where nobody here at this church, but there's been some times where I thought I could confide in certain people about things that were deeply on my heart. And I was laughed at. I was made fun of. And I want to say this, it's not in the Bible, but it's a pretty good saying, if you have five people in your life that you can truly share your heart with and not be scolded or ridiculed, made fun of, you're doing good. The older I get, the more I start to understand that. There's been times where I've tried to share my things, but then the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, Justin, that's too big for them to carry. That's meant for me to carry. So he's counselor. He's the mighty God. He's able to save. The mighty God, able to save. He's able to do great and mighty things. The everlasting Father. He's the Father that will never leave. The Father that will never forsake. He's everlasting. And of course, he's the Prince of Peace. As they come, we're going to give a virtual invitation this morning, just a few moments. I want to say that he is indeed the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah mentions that. He sums that up here in Isaiah 9, verse number 6. This world this morning is politicking. This world this morning is protesting. And they are trying to get this kind of lasting peace. This lasting peace. And listen, they can get who they want to in the White House. They can get who they want to in the Senate. They can try to get together a pandemic package deal. They can try to do all these things and secure jobs and all of that. They can try to go after equality and end with racism and all of those things. They can try to do all of those things. But there's always going to be war and there's always going to be conflict here on earth because this world is not the kingdom of the Lord. This world is not our home. This is not when Jesus came as a babe. He didn't come to set up his kingdom on earth. But he came to open up a new and living way. That's the New Testament. That's the blood of Jesus where he eventually he was born, he bled, he died, he rose again. But he is coming one day, not as a lamb, but as a lion. He's coming for his church, and then he's coming with his church, and then this whole world will be destroyed. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But until King Jesus comes, there's not going to be any everlasting peace. Oh, of course, we try to stay, you know, we try to stay positive and all those things. And we're hoping, like I told somebody the other day, in one hand, I'm holding on to the return of the Lord. In the other hand, I'm hoping for the best for the world. And I believe that's how we ought to be. We ought to hang on to both until Jesus comes. This morning, the delivery of this gift, we see the beyond aspect of it, and that is there were some reality. Salvation has come. Peace. The shepherds were proclaiming to that sleepy town, Bethlehem, that the Savior was born. He's wonderful as a new reality to us. Counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. To those watching this morning, we're going to give a verse of invitation. Miss Amanda is actually going to sing a song that is it the Christmas offering? We normally sing with our Christmas offering, but this is going to be our invitation song. And those that are watching, if you need to pray, let this be a time of prayer for you, a time of reflection upon the reason for the season, Jesus, and again, the delivery of